want us to remember a couple of people before we go on here. I want y'all to remember Mike and Deborah Thompson. I was looking at, we've been missing them for quite some time. Mike is battling something here, so I want to remember him and lifting him up. Miss Peggy Chester Sweeney, we're praying for him as well, and for you too, Miss Peggy. Miss Linda Russ back there, we're praying for you as well. The devil will try to put you down, try to knock you down. He'll try to keep you down. He is a liar, and he's deceitful. You know how you beat a con man? You know the truth. The devil is a con man. He'll try to con you into believing something that's not true. But if you know the truth, he's got no power. How many of you are grateful that we've got a Bible here that tells us the truth? How many of you are grateful that we got the Spirit of God that guides us into all truth? Today we're going to talk about that. I'm going to title today's sermon, today's message, whatever you want to call it, You Were Made for This. And what you were made for was to be filled. Now, I first started thinking about this, and I started going, Lord, is this what we ought to be talking about here? I know that we talk about the Holy Spirit. Well, we're a Holy Spirit church. Yeah, I got one amen out of that. I was a holy hush. I'm gonna try that again. We're a Holy Spirit-filled church. Amen. If you've never read the book of Acts, you need to flip over there and spend some time in it. The Acts church was the first church. If we're going to be anything, I think we ought to look like the first church in the Bible. That's what we ought to replicate. What we ought to try to imitate is what they did, is what we ought to do, right? So when I was looking at this and I said, you know, Lord, I need you to guide me through this. I want you to show me. And I'll tell you, let's go in our Bibles. Let's go over to Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Now, some of y'all know this. We have a Celebrate Recovery program on Wednesday nights. Praise God. Had a beautiful turnout last week. I think there was 28 or 30 people here for last week's session. Man, that's great. Yeah. Week before that, Brother Jacob gave his testimony. We had 50 people in the house that night listening to his testimony. You know, Celebrate Recovery is something that's special, and it's not Celebrate Recovery that's the special piece. It's the people that it brings in that's the special piece to me. I've walked this life. I lived in addiction and was there for, man, I get teared up every time I think about it because I'd said this before. I remember who I was. I don't dwell in that. That's not who I am today. And if you ask me, and I told them when they do Celebrate Recovery, you know, they say, hi, my name is, you know, so-and-so. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. And then a lot of people will go and say, and I'm, you know, battling this or I'm dealing with that. Here's what I want people to say is, my name is Pastor Mike. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I am a child of God born again. That's all that matters. What happened prior to that day that I said, Lord, I make you my Lord and Savior. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I love you, God. Please, that old song, Jesus, take the wheel. Take the wheel for me. The moment that I happened, everything that was in my past that everybody else kept track of was washed and made clean. And you know what happened with that? There was an opportunity came when all that was wiped out. I emptied myself of all that garbage that I was and was able to be filled with all the holiness that He is. See, that's what the key is. We were designed to be filled. In Ephesians 5:8, here's what it tells us. 5:18, it says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit. The Amplified Version says it like this, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Say, you got a problem with alcohol? I ain't got a problem with alcohol now. I'm telling you now, I got a problem with getting drunk with wine. I got a problem with something having control over you. If there's something in you that's guiding you that ain't of God, you don't need it in you. And that's what happened with me. I started on a slippery slope. Y'all know I preached 3 sermons in one day, right? The first one's 15 minutes, and then we'll get to the real stuff in a minute. Y'all got your Nabisco crackers today? I warn you every week. Jamie, it's good to see you and Philip here today too, sweetheart. I just know that there's somebody in here that can relate to this with me. Is that I started just making one compromise at a time. And before I knew it, what seemed so small and minute had gotten me so far off track that when I looked to see where I was at, I didn't recognize the path I was on anymore. And I looked around, and you know what was even worse was that the devil had blinded me to everything else. So all I saw was heartache, destruction, dead ends, failure, rejection, fear, depression, all this other stuff was surrounding me, and I felt trapped. How many of you ever went hiking in the woods before? Ever got lost in the woods? And you start looking around, and you go, oh, my goodness, I don't know where. And you walk by, and you say, I've seen that tree 17 times now. Something ain't right. See, that's where I was at, and that's where I think a lot of you were at with me. But here's what happened. The master lit the way. When I surrendered over to him and you surrendered over to him, here's what he did. He started making a road in the wilderness, a river in the desert. And you started following your way back out of that. And that's what I'm telling you here. That's what this verse is talking about. It's saying don't be drunk with all this other stuff that makes you foolish. Don't be doing things that make you not focus on what you should be focused on, which is God. Now, if you'll do that and then be filled with his spirit, that's exactly what it said. Y'all get that? Let's say it. Be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. All right. So, here's what I want to tell you. Is you weren't made to run on empty. You weren't made to make it through this life with nothing inside of you. And at the very beginning of creation, God set this in place for us to understand that we have to be filled. I love note-taking. I see people taking notes. That's so awesome. I want you to know on the back table back there, there's some little notebooks I put back there. Y'all can always feel free to take those. All right? No charge for them. Take your notes if you'd like to. My wife takes notes. I love it. You know why I love it? It's because in a year from now, you'll be flipping through a book, and you'll see something. You go, oh, that's for me today. Thank you. The Holy Spirit will guide you to that, and you'll go, oh, man, that's it. I needed that scripture today. That's why I tell you to get a Bible. That's why I tell you have a physical Bible. I love my little digital thing, but the physical Bible, when I flip it open, I tell you, sometimes God takes me right to what I need. Woo! God is good. Anyway, all right, you weren't made to run on empty. You were not designed to live dry, weary, tired, and barely making it. I need somebody to understand that. Getting by is not what God wants you to do. God wants you to do more than just get by on the skin of your teeth. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry, then you can live where you're at, but I'm telling you that there's more, that if you would just accept it and understand it, you can get to it and live through it. Ooh. Robbie, you recording this? I need to write that down later, man. That was pretty good. That was of the Holy Ghost there. Let me tell you something. God didn't save you just to survive. He saved you for you to thrive. There's no way that Jesus went on that cross and took all that punishment just to say, okay, good job. Now, best of luck to you. You're saved. So now when your 85, 90 years is up on earth, then, hey, then we'll rejoice and have a good time. That's not what it was about. There's a reason for all of it. And if we look back, let's go into creation itself. If you go into Genesis 2, 7, you were actually made for his presence to be in you. Now, when I first saw this, and I started thinking about it, I thought, now, this is odd, but look, let's go. Genesis 2, 7, here's what the Bible says. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. See, before man ever moved, even after he was made, before he moved, God had to breathe something into him. Oh, man, that hit me like a ton of bricks then. So if that's what happens then that means that I was made to be filled with divine life and power. Now, that was revelation to me. That was revelation to me. Because I started thinking, you know, sometimes we just give up. How many of you just say, oh, just thank goodness I made it through another day? Man, don't say that stuff. Here's what you need to say. Man, I conquered today. I tell people they're having a hard time. I said, do you understand you got a 100% success track record? 100%. You have made it through your worst and hardest day that the devil could throw at you. You have made it, and you are here now. Do you understand that just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true? You are more powerful than you know. You are stronger than you know, not because of who you are, but because that divine power was breathed into us. Amen. When we have divine power like that, no matter what the devil throws at me, I know that I'm going to be victorious. Amen. Now, I might come out and have a black eye, a bloody lip. I don't care. I get back up and I get back in that ring with the devil, because I'm going to tell you right now, comes round 12, I'm knocking his butt out. When you stand the test of time, you will be a victor no matter what. You were designed to be filled with his presence. And I thought, now how many of us, though, are trying to live off yesterday's encounter? How many of us are thinking about living off God's breath from yesterday? Here's what I want you to know. I want a fresh breath every day. Oh, man, I need it. You understand? We taught a lesson here many years ago on a Wednesday night. Brother Ron Baker, I bet he remembers this. I had a pitcher up here, a pitcher of water, and I had a couple cups. And we did this little, y'all know I like little experiments and visual effects things. So I took this cup, and I had a hole in the side of the cup, and I started filling it up. Well, when you filled the cup up, when it got up to the hole, it started overflowing. Well, what would happen was if you had a hole in there and you stop pouring, guess what happens? It starts emptying. Well, what happens when it runs out? I don't want to run out of God. I don't want to run out of the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to keep getting filled up with that. Keep letting my cup overflow and then let it flow on out to others. That's how I'm victorious. That's how you're victorious. But I don't know about you, but I don't want just a little bit. I want the whole enchilada. Give it all to me, Lord. That's what we got to do, is we got to stop just thinking about yesterday's breath, and we need to look at today. Number two, I want you to know that Jesus came to fill you. In John 7, 38 and 39. I normally have my little Bible verses tagged here, but I'm moving a little slow this morning. Y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you want to be filled with the power?
Amen.
I don't believe you. Here, repeat after me. Fill me. With power.
With power.
Say it like you mean it.
Fill me.
With power.
Power.
You know God hears your request.
Yes.
Y'all don't ever start talking to things. You ain't never going to receive nothing.
Amen.
We need to start being more boisterous, more vocal about what we want from God. Let me tell you why. Not because God's withholding it from you, but there is power in this tongue. The Bible says life and death rest in it. I don't know if it's you. I'm speaking life. I'm speaking prosperity. I'm speaking blessings. I'm speaking joy. I'm speaking health. I'm speaking healing. I'm speaking peace. How many of you could use some of that?
Amen.
Then repeat after me.
Fill me.
With power.
With power.
Amen.
Amen.
Now listen, Jesus came to fill you. Here's what it says right here. And he who believes in me, this is what Jesus said now, he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Let me tell you something. Jesus came so that you could be filled with power. Say, well, Jesus came. Some people are going to say this is blasphemous. I'll tell you it's not blasphemous. Did Jesus die for your sins? Absolutely, he did. He died for my sins too. But let me ask you something. Why didn't it just stop there then? If that's what it was all about, and it was just supposed to be just for your forgiveness of sins, why didn't it just close out then? Why was there more after that? It is finished. He could have died, resurrected out of the grave 3 days later. We all know that. We believe that. That's fundamental to our Christianity. But then they could have closed the book after that. They could have just said, well, whoever believes on him shall be saved. Well, great. So I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth, and that's it. But there was more. See, what happened was Jesus said, it's advantageous for me to go away. So because when I go away, the Spirit will come down. Now, see, there was something else more there to it that Jesus wanted you to have. He wanted you to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit for you. So I'm here to tell you that Jesus didn't come just to die for your sins. Jesus came so that you could have life and have life more abundantly in this world. He came so that when he died and he resurrected and he ascended, then the Holy Spirit descended and didn't just dwell amongst, it dwells in you.
Amen.
Now, I want you to know something. I need that power in me. I want that power in me, because without it, as a shell of a man, I am like a clay pot that is fragile. But you put that power inside of me, and I'm telling you, there is nothing that can stop you. People can try. You can allow them. But with God's power, there's nothing that you can't do in his will. I had to throw that in there because some of y'all be out here speaking, I want a Lamborghini this afternoon, and trying to call me and say it didn't work. I want you to understand something. You got to be in God's will. What's God's will? Miss Kathy. Miss Kathy Corn, who got baptized today in your house? Who got baptized? Your son and your granddaughter got baptized today. Now, let me tell you something with Miss Kathy. Amen. She has been believing. She has been confessing. She has been praying. And let me tell you, that's in God's will. So I want you to know something. You got children that have gone away? Start believing. Start confessing it. Start believing it. I'm telling you, it's going to come. Just wait it out. Hold on. It's coming. Don't lose hope. Jesus rose so that you could be filled with that power. And in Acts 2:4, it tells us, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. Not just certain people. That's it. You got to get this. It's for everybody. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All, everybody. Not just the pastors, not just the preachers, not just the evangelists, not just the toilet scrubbers. It said everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody who wants it can have it. And you say, oh, but I thought we got filled with the Holy Ghost when we got saved. You're right, you do, absolutely. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you, but it's like having a light switch that you don't cut on. It is there, it is available, and there is power in it, but if you don't use that power, it's just as useless as to sit back on that wall back there until you flip the switch and start using the power. That's what I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about just being saved and have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, guiding you. Those are all wonderful things, but I'm talking about the power that's from up high. Man, that's the source. Oh, folks, I wish people would get a hold of this. I have people that are friends of mine that are good Christian people, but they're living such defeated lives, man. They're depressed. They're beaten up. They're fearful. They're just kept under a rock, and the devil keeps them there. And I want them to know that there is liberty in Jesus. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're set free from those bondages. You got to have the power of the Holy Ghost to set you free into those things. Anybody who's ever dealt with an addiction can tell you it's true. Because here's what's happened. I did good for a little while, and I slipped right back. Then I get back on it, and I do it in my own might, and sooner or later, I run out of gas. But when the Holy Ghost gets involved, when that power, man, it's an endless supply. Everybody say endless supply. Endless supply of power from God. I want you to know. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say to yourself, the promise is for me. If you don't believe it, I understand. But if you do, you need to say it like you mean it. The promise is for me. Now I want you to look at your neighbor, and I want you to tell your neighbor the promise is for you. Say it like you mean it. The promise is for you. Sometimes we don't believe our own words. We got to hear somebody else say it to us. We used to, man, I'm y'all ready to go already. I've told this story before. We coached a T-ball team, and we got the misfits. We got the team last. Matter of fact, I didn't want to coach. I'm not a coach. I never played baseball a day in my life. I don't know the first thing about nothing to do with that kind of sport. But our daughter wanted to play, so we showed up there, and all the parents are gathered around, and they said, "Well, we've got more kids than we've got coaches. And we need somebody to coach these little kids." And I started looking around, and I thought, my goodness, what are these kids going to play? And my wife said, did one of them numbers right there. And then all of a sudden, I started feeling my arm going up. I thought, what, Lord? No, it's my wife over here raising my hand on up there. I thought, now, you know, we got to make it a few more years, woman. But anyway, so I had my hand raised up. They said, okay, oh, you go coach? I said, yes, I am, with my wife and my father-in-law joining me. Yes. We're going to We're going to do a wonderful job coaching them. I didn't know the first thing about it, but Ashley had played softball, and her dad had coached as well, and they knew all about this game of baseball, t-ball, whatever it was. And I didn't know the first thing about it, but you know what I did know? I couldn't teach them strategy at all. I was not, don't ask me to teach you how to hit a ball. You're going to strike out every time. Don't ask me. Pitch? Uh-uh. No, you might end up in right field somewhere trying to throw the ball to home plate. It ain't going to happen. But here's what I did know. I know that if you believe you're a winner, you'll become a winner. That I knew. So when we got them kids together, and they were misfits. We had these two little twins. They had to be, what, a foot and a half tall? I mean, y'all remember seeing the Oompa Loompa kids, you know? These little kids, they were just so scrawny little kids, and they'd come up there.
None of them had ever played ball.
That's right. That's exactly right, brother. None of them had played ball. They were the leftovers. All the other coaches had their teams. You know, they had their star kids or athletes already. It was already lined out. They had already been picked. So what we got was all the leftover kids that nobody else wanted. Oh, but man. We started taking them out on that field. They started showing them some things. And they couldn't run. They couldn't. I mean, they base. They didn't know what any of that stuff was. I didn't know what any of that stuff was. But I kept telling them, you're a winner. You're going to win. Don't worry about the other team. You know what? You're awesome. You know what? You could hit it. You could do it. You're doing a great job. Hang in there. You're going to do so good. You're going to be it. It's going to happen, guys. You're winners. Everybody repeat after me. I'm a winner. I would say, I'm a winner. Yes, you're a winner. You're a winner. You know what happened? We were undefeated the entire season. And I'm going to tell you, it's not because the MLB came down and started looking for prospects. It was because we started talking positivity into those kids' lives. We started showing them the truth of who they really were. Whether they believed it or not didn't matter. The truth was that they were winners. They just didn't know they were winners yet. I want you to know something, that you are a victor. You may not know it yet, but you are a victor in Christ through the Holy Spirit. You just got to keep in the game. Keep playing. I'm telling you, it'll come. But Jesus came to fill you with that power, so that way you didn't have to just get by. Woo, that's good news. That's good news to me. I lived on Squeaking Street, where we just squeaked on by. I lived there. I had a permanent address, and I didn't like it. The bills would come in, and it was almost like playing, you know, what Yahtzee or whatever. You know, you got to roll. Which one are we going to pay today? I didn't know which we were going to pay. We didn't have the money. We were robbing Peter to pay Paul. And we would do this over and over. And y'all ever written them cashier check things? You know what I'm talking about? The $300 cash advance place? They knew me by name in seven states. I was right. I mean, we were. That's how we lived. And it was horrible. It was horrible. But I thought, this is our plight in life. And so I must try to work harder for us to get out of it. But I'm going to tell you, when I stopped working harder and I started trusting more, oh, man, God started filling that hole up with holy dirt. And I started getting elevated up out of it. And before long, we started finally getting some breath of fresh air of what victory smelt like. And then once I got a hold of it, I will never let it go. To this day, I'm telling you right now, I don't care what it is that you're looking at. I'm looking beyond the circumstances. I'm looking beyond whatever's there because I have the power. It's like old Superman with his X-ray vision. I can look right on through it, and I can see to the other side. I want you to know something. You got spiritual X-ray vision. Look on through your problems. Look to the answer that's on the other side. And you know what it is? It's Jesus Christ. And the power of the Holy Spirit will what enables you to be able to see that. And the next thing I want you to understand is that the Holy Spirit fills you for a purpose. See, it's not just so you can be filled. What's the point in that? I'm sweating. Is it hot in here? Woo. No, good Lord. Thank you, sir. Let me tell you something. You are filled for a purpose. Ephesians 5:18. Let's go back to that scripture, Robbie. Put it back up there for me. Because here's what it says. It says, but be filled. Now, that's a command. But be filled. It's not a suggestion. Do you understand? It's not saying, well, if you would like it. The Bible is telling us that instead of being filled with all this other stuff, you're going to be filled with something. Let me go ahead and I'm going to break some news to you. You're going to be filled with something. You're going to be filled with the world, or you're going to be filled with God. One of the two. One of the two. Because if you're not filling yourself with the Word of God and His presence being in your life and the power of the Holy Spirit, the world is spoon-feeding you everything, buddy. Cut on the news for 5 minutes. Oh, I can't say, y'all, I don't watch the news. Thank goodness I got enough people to watch the news. You know why? Because it's like an open faucet, and it just pours into me, and I don't want that pouring into me. I want to shut that off, that valve of that off of the world, and then what I want to do is open up the flow of the Holy Ghost. And when I start getting into the Word of God and I start studying, I told you about this thing we're doing with Matt, this daily thing. It's Bible recap studying. We're doing it every day, man. And every day we're listening to the Word of God, and every day we're commenting on it and we're talking about it, and I'm filling myself up with that. And you know what happens? I don't wake up, and you know the first thing? I used to wake up and dread, like, you know, oh, I got to do this today. Oh, I got to. Oh man. Oh, we got to pay this bill. I got to do X, Y, Z. Not when you start having a daily serving of God, you start waking up with a different attitude. I start waking up and going, man, whew, I hear them birds outside. They're a little annoying, but praise you, God, for them. I thank you for those. I start looking at my wife and saying, God, thank you for the family that you gave me, my beautiful children. Then I come here to the church and I say, thank you, God, for what you did up here on this little hill of a church. And then I look at the families in here and I say, thank you, God, for bringing these families in to your word to let them hear how the truth can set them free, God. And then I say, thank you, Lord, as I look around that. Thank you for the impact that they're making into our community. And this just starts a chain of events that puts me higher than my circumstances. And I look to all those things, and you know what happens? The higher up you get, the smaller everything else seems. You ever been on a plane? Y'all ready to go? I'm sorry. I know. I'm talking a lot this morning. I used to fly a lot. And one thing I noticed, that the higher I got, the smaller everything else got. So when I got up there, these big mountains, that airport that was almost too big for me to even get around in, once I got up to a certain altitude, it looked like a little tiny shack. Cars that used to cut me off in the roads and, you know, want to give a little anger issue there or whatever, just were like little tiny specks on the road. And before long, you know what happened? I didn't even see them anymore. Now, they were there, but I rose above them. That's what the Holy Spirit does to you. He's commanding you to be filled with the Spirit so that you're not living amongst your problems, that you're going to soar above them through the power that He gives you. You need to understand that. I'm going to do an example here. Jordan, come here, buddy. Can I borrow you? Bring that lamppost over here. That light, that yellow light sitting over there. So bring it right up here in the front. Robert, will you go back there? Sean, kill all those lights back there for me, please. Bring that right over here. Now, this is, don't go nowhere. You're staying right here, my friend. Love you, buddy. Hold on to that for me. You don't have any heart problems we need to know about or anything like that? Okay. No pacemakers, nothing. You get shocked, we're going to be okay? All right. Okay, cool. All right, just stand right there just for a minute. So this lamp is perfectly designed. The engineers that created this lamp created it flawlessly. There's nothing here that's a blemish with it. It's made for exactly its purpose. Now, what is the purpose of this lamp? Anybody? Light. What does that light do? Why is that light not working then? But it's made perfectly. It's made. Its design is perfect in every way. It's made perfectly right here. Why is this thing not working? If it's made perfect, why is it not working? It's lacking the power. Now, Jordan, hook this light up to our power. Now, here's what happens. When you are perfectly made, God made you just as you're going to be. Boy, that was bright, didn't it? It wasn't made to blind you, I don't think. So let me turn that up. All right, Jordan, unplug that. Cut those lights back on before everybody goes blind. All right. Here's what happens. You're just like this lamp. Say, Jesus, God made you perfect. The engineer created you just as you're supposed to be. But without the power source, you don't get to fulfill what your purpose was. And here's what happens to it. Did you notice that the room was dark and that the one lamp changed the environment of the room? When you cut that light on, it illuminated. It changed everything in the room. You could see everything clearly. Here's what I want you to know something. Your purpose for you to be filled is for you to illuminate. See, where you shouldn't walk into this place and the environment change you. You should walk into a place and you change the environment. Matt, my buddy Matt, told me a story one time I want to share with y'all. There was a pastor that he liked. His name was Pastor Bob. And Matt was unsaved, believed in a God, but was completely unsaved, and would attend this bar, go to this bar. And there was this guy who came in, and he would get there early before all the stuff got rowdy, and he would sit there, and he had a book, and he would read, and he would just drink a Coke and have a sandwich. And Matt and a couple of these other guys would come into the bar every day, and they would sit down with him, and they would talk. And slowly but surely, they got to know this guy. His name was Bob. And before long, Matt found out that Bob was a pastor of a church down the road. And before long, he started asking questions about God to Pastor Bob sitting in a bar eating a sandwich. And the more he asked, the more he started learning. Well, Pastor Bob led Matt to the Lord. Matt was saved and baptized. Here's what I want you to understand. See, Pastor Bob was in a bar, but the bar didn't change Pastor Bob. Bob changed the bar. When you go to work, don't let work change you. Let you change work. When you go to the grocery store, don't let the employees change you. You change the employees. When you go to that family reunion that you can't stand to be there because of all these people, don't let them change you. You change them. You have the power source, but if you walk into those situations and you're not hooked up to the power, you ain't changing nothing. You're just an accessory. And I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is not an accessory. He's your source. He's your source to get by. He's your source to make it through this life. And just like that lamp right there, all you have to do, just be plugged into him. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. I've had a lot of people in my life that said that, well, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. The last point I want to make to you is that it's not just a one-time filling. It's over and over and over again. In Acts 2, they were all filled with the Spirit, but then just a few chapters more in Acts 4, verse 31, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a one-time event. You don't need just a touch from the Holy Spirit. You need a refill of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't think so, if you don't think that that's what you need, then I'm here to tell you that you're missing out. You are so missing out because you're living off yesterday's manna. You're living off yesterday's breath. You're living off yesterday's power. And here's what I want you to know, that there's power that's an overflow for you today. All you have to do is be willing to plug into God, plug into his presence. And when you plug into that, it will start to fill you. I want everybody to stand with me this morning here. There's an opportunity. Bible says that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us. How many of you believe that God is here with us today? How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit is here with us today? I'm going to ask you a question this morning. How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit and you can become one? The infilling of the Holy Spirit is for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first thing that you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's the most important decision that you can ever make. If there's anybody here that's never done that, that's the first step to living a victorious life. It's the first step you have to take to be able to, just live without fear. See, when the Holy Spirit comes in, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, things change. The Bible says that you're made a new creation. If there's anybody here who's never accepted Jesus as their Savior but would like to make that declaration today, wants to say, Jesus, I want to accept you and let you come and live in my heart. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. If there's anybody here in this room, greatest decision you can ever make. Here's how we're going to close out today. I'm going to give you an opportunity to have a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit today. See, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, there are certain things that happen. See, depression must flee. It can't stay in you. Your fear will turn to boldness. What you were once afraid of, you now can speak with boldness and authority with. Your guilt will turn into glory. What you used to think held you back will now be the thing that will catapult you forward because you have the power of God to do so. You'll walk differently. You'll talk differently. You'll live differently. And you will shine differently. So here's what I want to do this morning. Acts 2:39 says this promise is for you. As they play and sing, if you'd like a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, if you'd like a fresh feeling, or maybe you've never been endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to pray with you today. I want you to come to the altar. If there's anything you need to lay down this morning as they pray and sing, I want you to come and I want you to lay it down at the altar too. If that's you today, I want you to come forward now. Don't wait. Come forward up here now. Now's your time to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Walk out of here differently than you walked in today. If that's you, come and join me this morning.